You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
In the gritty and difficult places of the world, God calls his people to be salt and light to the broken and the needy. That's what the front line is all about. Open your heart and your mind. Today's show is about to begin.
Oh, welcome, welcome, welcome. This is David Francoeur. I'm hosting the program, The Front Line, and it is, we're in the front line of ministry, and we have folks here that are doing that, and they're going to be sharing with us. And before I introduce them, I wanted to introduce all the way via the phone lines from Minnesota, the state of Minnesota in the United States, is our co-host Ann Limhoko.
Good morning. Yeah. Greetings from Minnesota, where I had the pleasure of seeing my niece graduate high school on Friday. So I apologize, I cannot be in the studio. But greetings from little cold Minnesota, which yeah. I'm enjoying, to be honest.
I understand they only have two seasons, winter and August the 16th or something like that.
That's correct.
Well, but it is a cold place. But I know you, Ann, you're going to bring as much warmth in Christ as you can wherever you go.
Praise God.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you.
And we have today with us names you'll be familiar with if you're a regular listener of WCNO, James Wrench and Luann Lineken.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, you recognize the voices if nothing else. James said,
hello.
Yeah, there you go. And Luann and James are host the Friday 5 p.m. program, Kingdom Recovery.
Yes.
Which is powerful, as many of you have listened, powerful program. Bringing really the fruit of godly recovery.
Amen.
To the airwaves and to helping. I mean, we have a lot of people in recovery who listen.
Right.
We also, because you know the way radio goes, we have a lot of people that may not have thought of recovery that need it, who
Amen.
Are listening.
Yeah.
And the responses, I know you get more than we do, mm-hmm. but it's a really, God is moving in a powerful way. Before we go any further, I want to pray. Today is Memorial Day. And I would like to offer a prayer for those who give God thanks for all those who have served America in the military and given the ultimate gift, which is their life for our freedoms. But also include in this, we have families today who have lost loved ones in recent wars and in other military activities, and they're grieving, and we want to lift them up as well. And Father, just come before you this morning. We thank you. We thank you beyond. We don't have the words
right.
to thank you for all of those who, throughout the history of this nation, have fought in wars and willingly given their all for the sustaining of our freedoms, for the life of this nation. So that we might maintain those freedoms. And Lord, even more so today, because of the precarious nature of our republic politically, that those who have gone to war and have not returned, Father, how much more do we appreciate their gift? And we lift up to you, Father, also their families who are grieving. Fathers, mothers, wives, children, extended and nuclear families, where the ripple effect of grief has caused great pain and suffering all over this land.
Yes.
And we just hold them up to you, Lord. Clutch them close to your breast, Lord God. May your merciful compassion cover them. And bring them through this season of broken hearts, Father, into a place of peace and comfort. And we thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
And I wanted to say, you know, because I was sharing before we went on the air with with Luann and James, that knowing it's Memorial Day, and some people might say, why did you pick the theme of healing and deliverance to talk about? And so I'm going to quickly give the reasoning behind that, because the Lord sets the pace for this program, really, ultimately. And
yeah.
And, you know, that healing and deliverance, first of all, are aspects of Christian ministry from the very beginning of the church. Well, even before, way back, you can read in the Old Testament.
That's right.
That God's miraculous work through those who followed him, all of those miracles we see repeated in the ministry of Jesus, and after he went to heaven, sit by the right hand of God, his disciples continued that, and those disciples that they made continued it. So regardless of what some people may think,
amen,
who have been teaching, who've been heard teachings that would say otherwise, God remains God. His will continues to exist and is worked out throughout all of time until today, and it will be tomorrow. And miracles are a part of that, and he uses his people,
amen,
to minister everything he wants the world to see about him and to know about him. So that's why healing and deliverance continue. And in a season when I'm going to speak just to our culture, even though I know it's a Western issue primarily, that the church has not, when I say the church, doesn't mean if you go to a church that teaches it, hallelujah, and praise God, but there are some denominational positions that don't teach that God is calling his people to do healing and deliverance today. And I will say I grew, well, the church of my birth did not teach that, but I moved to another church when I was married to my wife, 53 years ago, praise the Lord. And that church did not teach it very much. But we got caught up. We met Christ in the, what would they call, the charismatic renewal, which was a revisiting of what God has always been doing and the truth of, you know, that the charisms, the gifts of the Holy Spirit were still given to the church. And so we are called to not just recognize that, but participate as God gives us gifts, and to know that the church today still, we need deliverance and healing. And why? Particularly because we have always been, and always will be, in a spiritual warfare. The scriptures talk about this, especially in the New Testament. Paul has been very clear, very eloquent about those things that we face in spiritual warfare. And you know, from the day after the fall of humanity, or maybe during that early part of that day, the devil has become the prince of this of the earth, the prince of darkness, the prince of the air, whatever. He has taken over, and he has a ruling, he has an authority that we've given him, right?
Yeah, Adam did.
Adam gave him that authority, and we'll hear more about that, James and Luann. But so all of that to say why we are here today is especially in thinking about all the people who have losses and are grieving, not just military families, but anybody that is in a state of grieving and they have broken hearts. And because spiritual warfare continues and the devil loves to kick people when they're down, I think it's important that we lift up the truth of this issue and the fact that many people need deliverance from the demonic oppression that is just going to come on you living in a broken reality. You know, one day, God willing, as we go to be with the Lord, we won't be living and we'll be with him in perfection in heaven and later on in the new heaven and the new earth that scriptures proclaim to us. But right now, we need to know. And we have this calling from God here at the radio station to really tell the truth and no mincing of words. So with that, that's a rather longer opening than I'd wanted to do. But so James Wrench, Luann Lineken, long experiencing your own personal deliverances,
amen,
and being involved in that ministry. Let's where do you want to start? Where do you want to start?
I just add on to what you were saying. I was wanting to confirm just a couple scriptures. First Corinthians 2:4. Paul said, my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rely in man's wisdom, but in the power of God. And then he said that in Corinthians 4. But I will come to you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. It also says the same thing in Thessalonians. If I can talk you into the Lord, someone can talk you out of the Lord.
Right.
But if I show up and you get healed or delivered of a spirit you didn't even know you had, and all of a sudden you don't have anger anymore, or you don't have asthma, or whatever, then or epilepsy, or some kind of disease, then you know God is real, mm-hmm. and that Jesus is the true God, because no one's casting demons out with any other name in Allah or any of those things. You know, it's only Jesus, the power over them. The Holy Spirit is what gives us the power.
Amen.
A lot of people are seeking the power too. Where really, when you receive Christ, you receive the Holy Spirit, and there is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. But the main thing is, how much of our life are we surrendering to the Lord? You know.
Amen. And you know, you just said it, and you said it before, David and James just mentioned about being delivered from things. You know, we say everyone needs deliverance. Jesus.
Amen.
Healed all. I mean, he, you know, when he did what he did for all of us, right? So, and it might not look like a vodka bottle or, you know, a cigarette. It may look like emotions, feelings that are leading you into negative lifestyles, you know, lust or anger, resentments, you know, unforgiveness, or even like you're saying, doubt. That doubt can cause you, you know, rebellion.
Yes.
Comes with rebellion, because I don't believe that, and then I live the way I want to live. So, and God did give instructions to go make disciples, and you were talking about disciples, and that's how it carries on and on.
Yes.
God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Right.
And his word is alive through each person that's filled with the Holy Spirit, the power that you were talking about, James. And that's the directions that we're supposed to even give to another. We pass it on. You know, we're sowers of the seed of God. We're sowers of whatever we're sowing. It could be a negative seed. You know,
yes.
We were designed in his image and likeness with his ability to produce. But I have to give it to him. I have to give him my heart in order to produce his fruits. If I don't, I'm going to be producing whoever I give my heart to.
Right.
I'm going to be in that image and likeness. Yeah.
That's Amen. True. Anne, did you have any input?
No, I just like how it was said about the power of God and the demonstration of the power of God. And when you are healed, whether it's emotionally, physically, or whatever aspect, that speaks to the power of God. And that's just beautiful, because we as Christians need to walk in that power, and that power needs to be demonstrated to really witness to a world. They need to see the signs. They need to see the wonders.
Yes.
Some of them do, not all of them, in order to really believe. So I'm just a huge, huge, huge proponent of healing and deliverance ministry. And I think it's something that we as a church need to see more of, because the enemy will use that, right, to say it's a lie, it's not something that's real, and it's so real. And I think in the past couple of years, especially with the advent of that movie, what was that movie called?
Come Out in Jesus' Name.
Yes. I think it's now coming out more and more, and I think it just needs to be more spread. And people just need to be more educated, to be honest, too, as well.
Because
some people will, if they come to understand the scriptures and to see it, then I think they will come to more believe and understand, then believe it.
Amen.
So if they have open mind and an open heart about it.
I think I agree with you 100%. And by the way, just as a production note, I took out the next pause or the next break. We're going to wait and do a break at 11:30 because we're on a good roll here. And one thing I was going to ask your input, and certainly, by the way, Ann, since you're all the way up in Minnesota, then I can't see your face.
Yeah,
you know, often I can see your question forming on your face. That just make a noise if you want to say something. You know, I don't want to, because you've got a lot of good stuff to say too. But right at this point, before we go any deeper, and we've all heard people who say, Oh, some of you people, you see demons under every rock, right? What's going on with you people? Mm-hmm. And I've done teachings as a pastor on healing and deliverance, and I've had people say that. And, you know, I've said, well, you know, here's, Jesus was well aware of that. Let's go into the scriptures. You go into the casting out of demons, and all the gospels speak about that.
Amen.
Paul talks about that, the whole spiritual warfare thing. And if you want mm-hmm. to see a nice wrap-up of that, go to the book of Revelation mm-hmm. and see all the prophetic stuff that involves, you know, the spiritual warfare and really how it finally wraps up. But the point is, even in the Old Testament, you have those Old Testament figures encountering spiritual warfare. It's been true since, like, what did I say, the day of the fall of, when Adam yeah. gave. But so, James, and I've heard you talk about this before, talk about the legal aspect of why in spiritual warfare the devil has been given permission. How did that come about? What does that mean?
Well, actually, I'm going to tell a little story I tell when I
okay,
teach
please,
at church.
Please.
I say, imagine you had a 7-year-old kid, and he's like, can I go out in the front yard and play? You say, if you promise you'll stay in the yard, I don't want you going across the street because those kids are bad news over there, or those kids are trouble. So, I promise. You let him out front. You look outside. He's across the street getting beat up. So you go break him up, bring it home next day. Can I go out in the front yard and play? If you promise you'll stay in the yard. Mm. Let him out. He's over there getting beat up again. Mm. Like, well, I'll just let him get beat up a little bit. Maybe he'll learn a little something. Go over there, bring him back. Which actually, that actually plays into it. Next day, can I go out in the front yard and play? If you promise you'll stay in the yard. You look out front. He's in your yard now. Those kids came into your yard and they're beating your kid up. Mm. You'd be right out there. Hey, look, Buster, as long as he's in my yard, you better keep your butts across the street or you're going to deal with me.
That's good.
The Bible is our yard.
That's right.
Right.
When we stay in obedience, we have God's protection. Full protection.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, it's a little tricky a little bit because demonic deliverance is, everybody thinks it's a power struggle. It's not a power struggle. It's a legal struggle.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And if you know more legally how to deal with it, you'll get lasting deliverance because you can power it out. I've told the story. My mom had trigger finger and a thumb, and I'm on the mom, this is bitterness. I cast it out. Took like 10 minutes. Comes out. God showed me it come out. First time I ever seen a spirit in the seen in the spirit realm. Her thumb frees up. 6 days later, locks back up. Now, see, I'm using my authority, but it's got legal right. I said, Mom, there's somebody I need to forgive. She forgives somebody, thinks she knows who it is. I cast it out again. It took about 20 minutes the second time. Thumb frees up. 6 days later, locks back up. I said, Mom, there's somebody not forgiven. She's like, I don't know who it could be. And she's not a bitter type woman, a very loving woman, which are usually the ones that have more unforgiveness or the more loving ones because they get more taken advantage of. But anyway, I just pray for God to show her. 2 months go by with the thumb locked up. She has this dream, something my dad did 30 years earlier. She ain't even thought about, but she never forgave him. And she walked in the room in the dream. He was doing whatever it was. She punched him, knocked him down. She's kicking him on the floor. She wakes up and says, oh, Lord, I forgive him for that. And her thumb freed up and was free for 21 years till she died.
Mm.
See, I used my authority. There was a power struggle. Cast it out, but it had legal right. But when you dealt with the legal part, then it had no right.
That's right.
Then there was no battle.
Amen.
Okay. So that's where people miss it. But where it gets tricky is there's generational legal. That's where people miss. They don't understand. Oh, well, I'm not living in sin, but it could be I had a cough for 5 years from Freemasonry from my great grandfather, and I had no idea what Freemasonry was.
Mm.
And when I repented of that thing, it's like a golf ball came out of my throat. My throat was totally different when that thing came out because I had this weird thing in my throat all the time. It felt like a golf ball.
Mm-hmm. At this point, and I don't want to squelch anybody's commentary, but I'm trying to think of the listeners who had very little experience with spiritual warfare,
mm-hmm.
and as mm-hmm. it impinges on the human life, which is really everything. It's psychological, spiritual, and physical.
That's right.
Right? And we're going to be moving into talking about how these spirits get involved in our health,
mm-hmm.
and Henry Wright, someone you're going to hear about.
Yes.
There are two great books out there. I'm going to ask you to reference them when we get into that. But to say, now, first of all, I don't know, I just got this feeling in my heart that I want to say to those listeners, if you're thinking of changing the dial because you're afraid, because you haven't heard this before, or you've heard it and it made you afraid, and you had a little more courage to tune in today and not cut us off when you heard what we're talking about, but now you're getting ready to go to Joy FM or whatever you're going to listen to because this is bothering you. But now I'm going to ask either one of you to really respond to that in a pastoral sense. When people are scared, what do they need to know that's going to give them hope? And remember, perfect love casts out all fear.
All fear, that's right.
And perfect love is Jesus.
Amen.
So somebody jump in.
What James was saying before when he talked about the being on your side of the street, on God's side, you know, in the Bible, he gives us his armor. That's the same concept. He gives us many ways to be protected by him. And in the armor, he says, put on the armor to from the wiles of the enemy, the power and the wiles. Not that that we've been defeated by the enemy, but the temptation and the haunting and torment of spirits from the enemy is what can cause the physical and mental torment. And then after the mental torment, you physically start to break down. Mm-hmm. So when we put on God's armor, and that's the word of God, and he tells us to, that's what protects us from the wiles of the enemy. That's what protects us. And it's only through the washing of the word of God. There have been many people who came into Kingdom Recovery who left because they got, all these people do is talk about this. When it becomes your lifestyle, you don't even think, my kids now call me for prayer. Yeah. And only because I'm like, praise Jesus. Oh, in Jesus' name you leave. Like if somebody even says something, it's not that it's a spooky, it could be spooky if you're allowing it to spook you.
Yeah.
But we have a choice to say, I don't want to be spooked by these things because I have the power and authority to step on them.
Yes.
God says this. This is his word. And and this is what we are expected to do as citizens, not Christians. Yes. Citizens of the kingdom of God. Christians get caught up in a whole bunch of worldly belief systems sometimes. And that's why God's speaking to Christians when he's talking in the word. He said, whoa, these are religious groups. And it's them that sometimes get caught up in people pleasing. That's a spirit. Amen. You know, poverty. I didn't even know that was one until it came out of me. Like James was sharing, I was doing a deliverance. It's just a willingness. Just have a willingness and an open mind to let God pour into you today.
Yes.
Really. And he has something for everyone all the time. Come with the expectation, he says. So when it's not by coincidence you turned on the radio. It's by divine appointment. And change your thinking. Yes. Just change your thinking and give the power back to God where it belongs.
Yes. And which goes along with submission, which is a word I'm going to say Americans because I haven't lived anywhere else, where we Americans don't understand the word.
Right.
And I will tell you as someone that, while I was involved in mainline church, which preaches and teaches very much like other mainline churches, but never really approached the reality of deliverance, really never talked about spiritual warfare, which has been going on unrelented, as I'd said, since the fall of humanity. And what we're trying to do today, what we're not trying, we're doing it, and what God wants to do is to take you out of a season of fear and by submitting to him, which if you want to know what is submission all about, you can, it's certainly scriptural, and you can, by the way, you know, you can ask the Lord to enable you to understand it.
And say one thing? One of the reasons why we don't interpret the Bible the way it should be is because we don't have kingdom mentality in our nation here. If we learn about the kingdom structures, our mental state starts to change because we are in kingdom terms, and that's where legal rights come in and warfare and sowing. We have to remember when Jesus walked this earth, he came specifically at that time because the kingdom, the Roman Empire, was lining up to the kingdom of God in there. Not that it could ever be the kingdom of God, but the mentality was there. So Jesus can say a message that they understood. Right. And if we understand kingdoms, that's why, you know, in the Bahamas and all those places, they understand a little bit more about the structure of a kingdom.
Right.
They can. I read the Bible different today than I did when I was reading it in a religious sense.
Right. Yes.
I just want to.
I just love this conversation because I just, you know, to be kingdom minded,
yes.
We are to rule and
Amen.
We are to reign.
That's right.
Yes.
Sometimes people don't know the authority
right.
we have as Christians over the devil. So the devil's messing with them
mm-hmm.
when they don't. He doesn't even have a chance because of the kingdom
right.
authority that the and we have to know our identity
yes.
and it's all found in the Bible. And when we see that and live with a kingdom mindset, then the devil cannot. I mean, we talk about generational and stuff, you know, that came down from your bloodline or whatnot. But there is a mentality and an authority that we are supposed to have.
Amen.
You know what I mean? And walk in that. And that's when we are victorious. We are going around as Christians as this defeated.
Right.
Because some of us are.
Mm-hmm.
And I love this. I love this conversation. I really do.
It's really.
Thank you for bringing this.
And, okay,
I
James.
I want to just get your original question there about any listeners that are getting spooked out or anything is the devil can't do anything. He's not already doing to you.
Right.
He can only do what he has permission to do. God mm-hmm. is still
yeah.
in control, but he
right.
is given permission, and we are given legal rights over him. We have authority over him if we just go back and read the Bible with an open mind. So he's not going to all of a sudden
right.
start attacking you like in new ways. Now, like if you have a lust problem, the lust may turn up. I've seen people get in deliverance and then they're fighting with their wives, you know, because they don't understand. Because mm-hmm. the reason why, though, is they are attacking demons that have legal rights to be in the people.
Right.
So when you step over your boundary, they step over theirs. Now they're getting you fighting with your family and so on. But they're not going to just come in and all of a sudden
yeah, now you're
getting strangled
get
in the
yeah.
room and you're
yeah.
dying.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
Da, 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 da. So they work hard in the last 50 years of making movies, giving people thoughts for these movies to make demons all this strong, powerful thing.
Mm-mm.
And to think of them that way is really to put them more powerful than God. And God has more power under his fingernail than the devil has.
Amen.
And
yeah.
we are on God's side now.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, the second most powerful being just became your enemy when you come to God.
Yeah.
So the first thing Jesus had to do was be tempted by the devil. When he got filled with the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And that's very common, but we have authority over him. And I know we're fixing to take a break, so
yep.
I'm going
to... That's okay. Well, we will come back to that. Just a quick story. When I was in second grade, I was 7 years old, and at some point in the class, a huge scorpion revealed mm-hmm. itself. From where it's, I don't know. But it was, to us, seven-year-olds, it was huge.
Mm-hmm.
And the first row saw it, and it was skittering across the front. And then that fear rippled back through the whole class, and every one of us was just deathly afraid of
mm-hmm.
this ugly, you know, scorpion. The teacher, on the other hand, nonplussed. There was some sports equipment against one wall, softball bats and gloves. She picked up a bat. She went over, and, you know, the fat end, the bottom
yeah.
of the, or the top of the bat, if you will, she centered it over the scorpion and went, foomp. And the scorpion went squish.
Uh-huh. Amen.
And then she put it in a clear jar and she walked around and showed us. Now, this memory came back to me because the Lord showed me something that later on I realized.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, that scorpion is like how you see the devil
mm-hmm.
before you know me, before you know my son Jesus, is you look
oh.
at the devil and you just get all scared
mm-hmm.
because you it. How big he looks to you. But he said in actuality, the devil is very small.
Amen.
And that he's already a defeated foe.
That's right.
And so when you remember,
yeah.
Mrs. Hoffman was yeah. her name.
Amen.
Nadine Hoffman. Thank you, Lord, for Nadine. But when she whacked that
her
thing.
Authority, yep.
The authority of God mm. is the devil is just not. He is not equal to God in any
Amen.
Way. He only has what God's allowing him to have in this world.
Yes.
Anyway, let's take a break. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Karen Hubbard inviting you to join me every Friday at 11 a.m. for Hidden Places, where you'll hear exciting testimonies, amazing stories, and casual conversations with believers just like you here on WCNO 89.9 FM.
Revival's in the air. The kingdom of God is here. This is Luann Linneken, the host of Kingdom Recovery. I invite you to join me every Friday at 5 p.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 FM. Kingdom Recovery is a live, cutting-edge program where I will be talking about God's saving, healing, and delivering power. Don't miss it. Revival's in the air.
Well, and we're back to the front line. We, the bottom of the hour, and we have James Ranch and Luann Linneken with us, and our co-host Ann Limhoko, all the way from the frozen realm of Minnesota. But she has such a warm heart for Christ. I'll bet they're going to have an early spring up there, right, Luann?
Yeah.
Right, well, Luann and Ann. Sorry, Ann. Ann.
Yeah.
Anyway. Okay. And Ann had a point she brought up during the break. So, Ann, I'd like you to drop that into the midst of our discussion today.
Yeah. As we were just talking the last 30 minutes, I just kept hearing the Holy Spirit say, open doors. Mm. And my question to James and Luann is, as Christians, we could open doors without even knowing where the enemy can be allowed to enter in because we've given him that. And, you know, without even knowing, open doors. And can you talk about some of the open doors that you have, that you see people maybe open, where things were allowed to come in?
Sort of the common
ones.
You know,
just so that, yeah, that's very common, you know?
The most common, and 98% of the time, and there is the 2%, which is can pop up, you don't know. The most common thing that you always deal with is unforgiveness.
Amen.
Because people don't understand the depth of that. Just like my mom with a 30-year-old thing she hadn't even thought about.
Yes.
But she never forgave him. We have to walk in total forgiveness. The Bible is clear. Yes. Even the Lord's Prayer, forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. If you do not, neither will your Father forgive you.
Right.
And I've seen many cancers leave because cancer, 90% of the time, not all the time, it can be immune system problem, but most of the time cancer is bitterness. And any deliverance ministry will tell you the same things I've learned, and I didn't learn from them. But now that I've met more ministries through the last 25 years of doing this, they all have the same answers that God showed me or that you run into, or not even God sometimes, just because you can't get a demon out. And in 95-98% of the time, unforgiveness is the biggest, most common, not biggest. Sometimes it's a cold. Sometimes there was a lady, this kid had this skin disease, 7 years old, born with it, and a year and a half of trying to get healed. And the guy helping her, who gets a lot of people healed, Sid Ross, said more than anybody's ever met, told them to pray Jeremiah 33:3 every night and ask God what allowed this to be there. And 2 weeks later, she sat up on the bed and she heard lying and deception. She called, she said, he said, do you know what it is? She goes, yes, I do. My husband said, I said, I want another child. He said, I don't want to be 60 years old and he's in high school. I said, no way. And then she promised she's trying not to get pregnant, did everything she could to get pregnant, got pregnant, and said, God must have wanted us to have another child. So he said, well, good, she'll be healed now. Because she was covered. His pictures, I got pictures of her too. I mean, covered open sores. And then he said, well, good. Now you found the sin. She'll be healed. He said, well, I don't want her just healed. He said, what are you talking about? Well, you said on those CDs you sent me, if we walk uprightly before God, regard no sin in our heart, we can have whatsoever we ask. He goes, yes, I did. He said, well, she is covered with scars. I have to sleep in the bed with her and hold her hands at night. She scratches in her sleep. And now that I know all the scars all over are my fault, I want the scars healed too. He said, ma'am, that is no problem. God gave her a coat of new skin. And 2 weeks, I got pictures of her. Perfect skin. Wow. I mean, perfect.
Hallelujah.
But, God.
So that was a weird one. And you run into those things where you keep searching. And I'll tell you, when you get in deliverance and demons do start talking, it's very easy for them, even though you don't realize it, they are misleading you. Mm-hmm. They'll be arguing over certain things, trying to keep you from getting to the true thing. If you'll go with that little unction in your gut, the Holy Spirit will guide you. But he's hard to listen to when someone's spitting at you and swinging at you or whatever's going on. You know, sometimes it gets crazy.
Amen. So. Amen. Yeah. I would say the same thing, unforgiveness. And usually when we do deliverance, or if somebody calls me and is, you know, wants prayer, that's one of the first things I start to mention, you know, to open that, their minds to that thought, that ask God, is there anyone? Search my heart. Is there anyone? And if a name comes up, and I always say this, it's easy, even if you're struggling and you don't think you can forgive somebody, because I deal with a lot of people that have been violated as little children, and now they're adults, and because, you know, my background is, you know, counseling and stuff. So as an act of my will, I choose to forgive so-and-so.
Yes. Yeah.
All right. And that's all you need to say, because your heart's starting to change towards God. It's a turn. It's turning direction, your heart direction. And God will do the rest. It's, you know, when we let go and let God, we give God the ability to deal with that person the way they need to be dealt with. And he wants to love them, and he wants to heal them too. So, but when we're holding on, we're keeping them from the true healing too. For us too, we're only hurting ourselves when we hold on to old resentments. But I will say also, fear does open a door, and it's very subtle too, because, you know, we don't think, we use fear as macho, or, you know, like, oh, I remember when it says I'm powerless over, that was a very hard word for me, because I was a street, you know, I was a New York tough fighter, you know, and Italian too, so it was like powerless. I'm not powerless. So, and that powerlessness is humble, when I use that resistance against powerlessness, because I'm mostly in fear. I was afraid of people hurting me. That's a fear. I was afraid of not fitting in. I was afraid of what people thought about me. All those things. Mm. And those are subtle fears that we think, oh, if it's not big, I'm not afraid of heights, or I'm not afraid of, you know, this. But it's subtle. And we have to search our heart in that. And we can say that too to God. God, search my heart for any fear that's not, you know, expose it so that I can repent, because it's about repenting. God, forgive me for choosing fear over you, over faith in your word.
Yes.
And it's very simple. We don't have to go into these big elaborate prayers. Jesus didn't. You know?
Yes.
50% of disease is from fear.
Yeah.
Anyway, but
I was going to have us shift to that, but Well, let's do it.
I just want to say, people say, I don't have any fear constantly when you're trying to talk to them about this stuff.
Yeah.
And I usually just say, well, the number one fear, there's over 4,000. The number one is public speaking. They're like, oh, that's fear. Yes.
So. Well, you know, truthfully, and we've alluded to this a couple of times during the broadcast, that, and I've personally experienced deliverance.
Amen.
That was that when I was delivered, it was manifested in physical healing, and throughout my Christian life, and I've also prayed for people. Particularly, we get back to again unforgiveness. Unforgiveness, we all have that, and if we think we don't, we're usually lying to ourselves, or maybe it's been buried under years of just ignoring it. But I've, in this course of this last few years, the Lord has gotten me to be open to people that I didn't think that I had even had an issue with.
Amen.
But that I've had to forgive them. But I do remember praying healing prayer, and for many people, especially people with back issues and with high blood pressure, that they experienced an immediate deliverance from that when we could identify an issue of forgiveness. And before I would pray for the body, I would pray in the spirit that they would say, you got somebody to forgive? Tell me.
That's right.
You think about it, forgive them, say it out loud, meet it in your heart. And then we'd pray for the body. And they would come to me at the end of the service and say, I don't have any more pain.
Amen.
So, well, and there's a connection.
Yes.
We are not
designed.
Well, we're not trained right now in Western Christianity for the most part. Now, if this is not your training, praise God. You get down on your knees and give God thanks because you have an understanding. But so many pastors don't teach this about the connection between between physical, between illness and disease, mm-hmm. and spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
So
and mental torment.
Mental torment.
And what I was going to say was we aren't designed to carry fear, unforgiveness. That's why our bodies respond, manifest that way, because God didn't create us to hold on, to have that in our hearts and in our minds. So our body, whatever in our heart, whatever we speak, whatever we think, whatever we act upon, is going to manifest because we're spirit beings. So it starts in the spirit, in the unseen. So whatever I'm spiritually meditating on, or you know, in my thoughts, in my words, and I'm not paying attention to what I'm speaking out, I'm giving power to whatever comes out of my mouth, and that will be the manifestation. So, and it's hard as even as a parent, because you know, you see kids always making mistakes and doing things.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but when I correct, and this is a good lesson even for when you're helping, when you're discipling, when you're correcting, it's important that we use both sides of the coin. This is why this happens. You know, like, you know, my son makes some bad choices, and I'm like, no, I can't tell you that you're not making bad choices. You're serving the wrong kingdom or whatever. But then I tell him what it's like to be in the kingdom of God. I can't be in agreement with you because we don't think the same way on this situation.
Right.
You know, and it's important because our minds can get caught up in the torment too. And that's what gets us manifesting these physical ailments. It's really all spiritual.
Yeah. You know, that's
one thing I'd like to
go ahead, Ann.
One thing that keeps coming to mind is what Luann just talked about. What we speak, we give it power to.
Mm-hmm.
There are vows that people make with their tongue.
Okay.
Like, I could never, like, you know, I can never amount to anything. I will never be healed.
That's right.
When you speak that, you have to cancel those vows.
Amen.
Amen.
And that's just, if you want to talk about vows a little, if our audience doesn't understand what that means, because the power of our tongue, we have to be careful what we say. And the cannot statements are very dangerous.
Right.
So
we're coming up on a break, so I would like that to be what we'll what we'll get into when we get back.
Okay.
Amen.
Because, and I'm thinking about, we've talked a little bit about physical sickness and disease and its correlation with spirit in the spiritual warfare realm, and that kind of activity, that when healing comes, is there's an issue of deliverance there, and talk a little more about that. I also believe we need to give some references. Now, the best book is your Bible.
Amen.
But there are some other resources that can be a companion, and when we get back, I'd like maybe one good recommendation for a book. I know Henry Wright's book. There's two of them. Both of them can be referenced. They're both in print and available, and it'd be tremendous references. They're Bible, scripturally based, that people can refer to. And frankly, there's what some people are thinking. I can see their eyes going around like a... Well, I won't, the thing I was coming at, I can't remember, but they're wondering, oh gosh, there's so much going on. Where am I going to start? So we can also make sure this is practical information too. Where do you start? Let's go ahead and take that break. We'll be back in about a minute. Every Monday, we will bring you stories from the front line of ministry, ordinary people doing extraordinary things for God. We will redefine where the front line is, from risky missions to comfortable caring, always with the invitation for you, the listener, to look for the front line in your life. Tune in to 89.9 FM every Monday at 11 a.m. Get on the front line. Hi, this is David Frank, who are co-host of the Frontline program. You may have an interest in being a guest on the front line, and if that is so, please send an email, wcno@wcno.com, and make it to my attention, David, and put in that email your interest and why you think you might be a good guest for us. And I'll review that and get back with you. And thank you for responding, and thank you for listening. Have a blessed day. Yes, have a blessed day. And there's our music saying we're back. And we are back. Before we get going, Luann, speaking of getting going, has a place she needs to be, but she wants to talk about that real quick and extend an invitation.
Yes. So we, Kingdom Recovery, we meet here on Fridays with on the radio, but we also do at my house or on Zoom every first Thursday of the month. So you can contact me, 631-745-7980. But today we started a noon meeting over at the hall. It's a local community AA group, and it's an open meeting. So if you're interested in knowing about our 12-step program and how this group is beautiful, it's divinely inspired by God, and it's all, you know, biblically foundation, right. Basically, we really do. We share about Jesus a lot in this group. So if you're interested in a 12-step program of like AA, it's an open meeting. You can just come and listen and just hear. But I have to be there because I'm leading the meeting today. But I did want to say on vows.
When you say there,
address? Oh, it's at the hall. That's all I'll
what
say.
What hall?
The hall in downtown Stewart. They can look it up. Google it.
Oh, yeah, okay. The hall. Okay, right.
Fellowship Hall. But I did want to say when I was about five years old, there was a lot of chaos in my family. There was, you know, some murder. I mean, there were things going on and fighting and everything. And I remember the chaos, and I remember specifically, and we were very hand-to-mouth survivors in my family. Mm-hmm. You know, you got your check, and we just barely made it. Sometimes we didn't. And I remember saying, I'll never go hungry again. That was like, I made a vow with the mm-hmm. devil. So I grew up manipulating, stealing, cheating, lying to have. Mm-hmm. And no matter how much I had, I always felt that I would go hungry again. Mm-hmm. So I spent my life, and that's where that, just, you know, maybe like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I was watching a Derek Prince Deliverance, mm-hmm. and it had nothing to do with I thought. I was just watching it because I've watched it. And he mm-hmm. talked about the spirit of poverty, and it came out, the fear of poverty, sorry. And it came out of me, and right away, like you had that memory, he showed me where it came from, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. it went, and ever since then, I have more than enough, because anything that I have is his anyway, and he'll supply Amen. Whatever he needs me to do if I'm doing it for him.
Amen.
And that's the shift. That's the mind. The torment of the mind got shifted. I repented and turned my direction towards his word, and that's how simple it is. I mean,
yes.
It's that simple. I'm not even gonna. I know it sounds like it's complicated, but it's that simple. Just fill your mind with Him, because it's through His blood. First of all, His blood is the covering of everything,
yes.
and His word. Yes. So if you fill yourself with Him, He will deliver things that you didn't even know needed deliverance.
Yes.
Amen. Right.
Amen.
And I just love everybody, and
love
this was
too.
Awesome.
Thank
and
you for
I don't
want
to leave, but I have to.
God bless you and keep you safe on your journey.
Yeah. Thank you, Luann.
Thank you so much, Ann.
God bless you.
You too.
And this is always, you know, in an hour we find out we can only scratch the surface sometimes. So be nice to try to get this group back again down the road.
And I just want to say real quickly, and we'll go back where you want to go with. The Holy Spirit wants us healed. He don't show you people you need to forgive usually, because if he brings them up, you just get mad thinking about what they did. But like if I'm doing I do sometimes the deliverance of our whole church, you know, if they have me come in and speak, I always just ask the Lord before I start the deliverance. I explain it to him. I give him Matthew 18:23 through 35, you know, where in verse 34, you do get a tormenting spirit through unforgiveness. And then I just ask the Lord to show them who they need to forgive. And I do it one-on-one. Mm-hmm. I do it over the group. And the Holy Spirit always shows up. And I'll just be silent for like 3 minutes.
Mm.
And then when I say, is anybody still seeing me? Most people are. Because the Holy Spirit and I say, he's going to keep them, bringing them up for the next couple months maybe. He did that with me because he knows you're willing. But he's not going to bring them up if it's just going to get you bitter and you don't realize he's doing it to forgive. So if you ask the Lord, he will show you. I just want to say that. He wants us healed.
Yes. Yes, he does.
And And unforgiveness, not only like arthritis is unforgiveness, it's a spirit of bitterness, but it also blocks healing. Just physically, you could break your arm. I wonder why God's not healing it, but it's, if you know the Lord and you have unforgiveness, it will block healing. I've seen that too many times.
Yes.
Yes.
And then you get in repent, and all of a sudden they're instantly healed, I've seen.
And there's, at some point in my, when I was still involved as a pastor in the church, myself and another pastor, associate pastor in the church, were led of the Lord to put together a grief workshop. Mm-hmm. And became very popular, and even people from the community came. We did it about 3 or 4 years in a row. But what we found in the first one, and it was certainly true of everything, is so many people, there was an opportunity for people to, in the small groups, we had small groups that get together, would talk about what they're still grieving about, and how interesting that, that their testimonies included unforgiveness, and that they had thought they'd put the grief aside, but in fact, they had just buried it. But along with the grief was that often people, other people are involved in what we're grieving about. And you know, it's amazing too, that let's say a loved one passes away, and maybe they died because of something they did, like maybe drunk driving or drugs, whatever, or they committed suicide. And those are the three areas where it's hard to forgive people. We don't realize we need to, but we get so angry and upset because of that. And the proliferation of the people who were grieving, that they would find out, then they would, as we prayed for them, the linkage between their unforgiveness and their grief, therefore they weren't really finishing with their grief, and their anger, too, that they were having physical ailments as a result of all of that. And that when we could get them to the point where they could recognize this, forgive, and deal with their grief in that way, there was so many healings that came about.
Amen. And I've seen so many. There's a woman, a Sebring, that had her daughter had a champagne bottle, mm-hmm. and said, "Mom, turn around," and she popped it open and it hit her in the eye and blinded her. And she had 6 operations and they could not get her seeing. They said, "We don't know why you can't see." And she went through this deliverance. People came in and she went through it all. And then afterwards she went up and she's like, "Well, I still can't see." He said, "Did you get any manifestations?" She said, "No." He said, "You probably got, there must be some bitterness if you had 0 manifestations through all of that." He goes, "Can I lead you through a prayer?" I said, "Who did this?" "Well, my daughter did it. It's an accident." He said, "Well, let's forgive her." "Well, I already forgave her." "Well, can you just humor me?" "Okay, just repeat after me. Father, I choose to forgive my daughter for hitting me in the eye with a shim. Father, I choose." And she bends over and vomits, looks up, and oh my God, I can see her eye was perfect.
Wow.
It's just so sus. And I could give you a bunch of them.
Yeah, and by the way, folks, because I know the Lord has told me there are some folks that are listening, but they're skeptical. Listen, when I say we're not making this up, all the stories you've heard today are true. And we're not, this is not something, we didn't script this to convince you of something that isn't real.
Just as a confirmation note too, is like TBN had a night of miracles where they showed 10 people that had crazy miraculous healings. Mm-hmm. 8 out of the 10 were healed at Henry Rice.
Talk about Henry Wright just for a moment and reference the 2 books that are still available that people can get, I know from Amazon because I've got them from there.
All right, Henry Wright, he went to pre-med school, dropped out to be a DJ, but they chose him first out of the class. He was really smart, photographic memory, and later he gets saved, starts a church. God's healing a bunch of people, so people start coming for healing. And then all of a sudden he's praying for this long line of people and not one person's getting healed every Sunday. No one. Mm. And then he finally, he's getting disgusted. So he says, "Lord, either your word's not true or I'm doing something wrong. So you need to either show me what I'm doing wrong or I'm going back to work 9 to 5. I'm not preaching a word that's not true." And the Lord spoke to him. And you got to listen careful to this or you won't get it. He said, "I didn't send to those people. The devil did, because he knows I can't heal them." He says, "What do you mean? You're God. What do you mean you can't heal them?" He says, "I'm not Lord over that area of their life that you are trying to minister into." Mm. We have areas. whether it's unforgiveness or these different things. Then the Lord started showing him different roots, causes of different diseases. You mentioned high blood pressure. High blood pressure, 99% of the time, is fear of future. Whether you're worried about making your bills, your kids messing up, your body releases ACTH in your bloodstream, makes your blood vessel shrink. Now it can't push the blood through the blood vessel, and that's what makes your blood pressure go up. Doctor gives you a beta blocker, blocks your sympathetic nervous system to release the blood vessel. If you get out of fear of future, Jesus said, New Testament commandment, take no thought for tomorrow.
Right.
These are simple little things in there.
Yes.
A lady, I keep feeling to get this one testimony. A lady had an osteoporosis, calls in, didn't even go through the week-long deliverance. She just called in and says, a friend of mine got healed at one of your meetings. Do you think you can help me? Says, what do you have? Osteoporosis. I've had it since I was 30. I'm 60 years old, and I can hardly get around in my walker. Because he knows the cause, he says, well, let me ask you this. When you were in high school, early college, did all the other girls make the best grades? All the other girls have the best looking boyfriends, and all your life you feel like everybody's better than you? She says, all my life I've been that way. Says, yeah, it's right there in your Bible. I've been there 3,000 years. She's like, really? Says, yeah, Proverbs 14:30. Enviness is a rottenness of the bones. Starts teaching her on envy. Three phone calls over a 6-week period, like 45 minutes on each call, teaching her on envy. She's repenting, not realizing that's envy. Oh my gosh, comparing myself to others. Oh my gosh, my neighbor who's not saved is making more money than I. Oh my gosh, you know, she's repenting. She calls back, says, I'm getting stronger. I don't need my walker. She just goes for an annual checkup. Doctor she's had for years. He says, what in the world are you doing? Your bone density has increased 15 to 18%. You have the bones of a 30-year-old woman. She said, I got right with God. I got a sin called envy and jealousy. Two years later, sent a letter.
Yeah.
I fulfilled my lifelong dream of walking all over the land of Israel for 6 weeks. I'm as strong as a teenager.
Wow. You know,
amen.
In our time, we're at 3 minutes and we're done. And
a more excellent way.
More excellent
the name
way.
Of the book, and he explains the different causes with different diseases.
And the other book is Spiritual Roots of Illness, Sickness and Disease.
That's a more
Henry
excellent way.
Henry Wright. And you have a quick question or comment you want to make before we have to sign off?
No, why don't we just talk about what the station number, and if people have questions even after this program, we could always point them to them. You know what I mean?
Yes, and while you do that, remember, this is Memorial Day, and while we're doing this live, there won't be anybody here for the rest of the day because we're all not supposed to be working. I just because we need to be live today, but then I'll be gone. But we do have voicemail, which is a wonderful invention, and it's 772-221-1100. That's 772-221-1100. And yes, if you have any questions about what we've talked about today, and the references we gave you, certainly the Bible, a lot of stuff in there cover to cover, and Henry Wright's books and anything else you might want, have a question or a comment about, you can call us, 772-221-1100. You can go online to WCNO, to our website, WCNO.com, and you can leave a question, one of the pull-down menus, you can do that. Our email is WCNO@WCNO.com, any one of those avenues of communication, and we will get back with you later on in the week. And so I'm just going to say thank you. I thank God for you and your ministry, James, and Luann's ministry, and how it's been refined. And what I find most interesting, and I guess I can jump on this bandwagon too, is those of us who have come to the Lord, and then experience recovery, deliverance from addictions. And of course, there's still some, you know, we're still discovering things where God wants to deliver us, because it's a lifelong thing. But how much more so when we read God's word about his love for his people, his desire to make us well and to deliver us from the things that hold us back. It's just God's, it's an ongoing thing. James, thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
And
I loved it.
And thank you for
James.
Giving us warm, loving thoughts from Minnesota.
Thank you for having me.
And you'll be back with us next
week? I'll be back there on Monday.
Hallelujah.
In the studio.
Well, off we go. We'll be back a week from today.